am cow, hear me moo. I weigh twice as much as you, and I look good on the barbecue.
If you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
Saddle up your horses.
Ah, we're having some fun this morning. I do love you guys, and it is good to be back. You weren't sure what you were listening to there. All right. Hey, didn't our ministry teams do a great job? Man. It will be an exciting, exciting year. And just in case you're wondering, I do not have an outro song. I can again tell you what the score is if you want, but I'm preaching today, and I haven't preached in 11 weeks, so we can be here a while. I'm excited about where God is leading us. We've been hearing all morning about where we feel we are going as a church this year and the great things that God has in store for us as a faith family. But you know this from experience because you've done it many times and many times over where you're going somewhere, that you know you need to know your location before you reach your destination. You need to know your location to reach your destination, right? If you're going to get a plane ticket online, right, you're going to go to a kayak maybe and you're going to put in that and it's going to ask you where are you coming from before you can put where you're going to. Or maybe you're sitting there and you're like, hey, I want to go to America's greatest pizza joint, and that's actually in San Francisco, a little place called Tony's Pizza. But where are you coming from? You're going to have to put in your destination. And so I know exactly how to get from my house to America's best pizza place. Because you need to know your location to reach your destination. And before we start our year together on this mission that we have together as a church to engage, impact, and transform our neighbors and neighborhoods with gospel love and generosity, just before we jump into that, let's take a moment to reflect on our starting location. Before I left on sabbatical, I knew exactly what my starting location was. I was soul weary. I was spiritually dehydrated. I was a few decisions away from just saying, I'm done. Because I was tired. Jesus was someone I talked about, but I wasn't necessarily walking with every day. I knew what my starting location was, and it wasn't good. And what a gift you gave me and my family and me just to stop and to rest and renew and to stop and realize where my location was so I can ultimately lead to my destination. Where are you starting from this morning? Are you soul tired? Is there a burden that you've been carrying for so long it just feels like it's a part of your life and it's never going to change? Is there a wound that hurts and oozes? Or when you just touch it a little bit, it's just, does not go there. Are you stagnant or flourishing in your faith? Do your prayers seem vibrant or do they seem stale? Even though we're here, many of us in the room together, or you're watching online and there are people around you, but maybe you feel alone, unseen, unknown, lonely. Do you feel like you have one foot in and one foot out of church? Do you walk in obedience to God's way or disobedience? Are you daily being transformed to look and act like Jesus? Or are you daily looking like more like the world, more like your political party and your political affiliations or your ideology of choice? Folks, whatever your starting location, can we be honest and transparent with ourselves this morning? I'm not going to ask you to tell your neighbor where that is. I'm not going to ask you to write it down. I want you just to know where is your starting location. And don't put a pretense on. Don't pretend. We truly believe here at Journey that everybody is some kind of messy, so we're not here to judge what that starting location is. We expect every week that the hurt and the wounded and the messy and those needing help are going to show up here every Sunday because we do. Because that's us. We're like the farmer's insurance kind of church. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. There isn't one person in this room right now or watching online that who hasn't been in a mess, who isn't in a mess now, who isn't coming out of a mess, or who isn't about to go into one unknown to them. So this morning, the first thing I want to ask us to do is, can you identify your starting location? Where are you starting this year from? Where are you right now in your life and your faith? And the second thing is, can you truly open yourself up to the truth that Jesus is going to meet you right where you are? Whatever that location is, he knows it, and he's going to meet you there. This past summer, Jesse and many of the other preaching team took us through Psalms, but also the other thing that you did as a church, one of them, was you read through the Bible. Cover to cover was the plan, online, shot out for the world to see, and I got to watch some of that, and I got to tell you, it was fantastic to hear God's word come from many of your voices. I also noticed that it was in my office. Don't remember putting that on the plan, but hey, I came back and you wouldn't have known. I did a different thing this summer. I, through the guidance of my sabbatical coach, instead of going wide like you did, I went really, really deep. I spent the entire summer in my times with the Lord and his word in only three passages. I just sat there, I marinated, I excavated truth and grace and the path that it laid out for me to breathe and to live again. One of those passages only had three verses, but they're some of the most precious words that just spoke to me and the place, and Jesus met me right there in his word through these words, and I want to share them with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, will you open to Matthew chapter 11? Usually we will put on a QR code. I wanted to make sure everybody's seeing it today, so please open up, because you may want to look at your Bible and your translation and what you have, but if you didn't come with one today, it's going to be up on the screen as we read it today. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this, verse 28, chapter 11 of Matthew. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You join me in prayer. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I ask that we would first and foremost hear your spirit speak to us and reveal where we are coming from. What is our starting location? Lord, pull away any veils or pretenses or thoughts that we are better than we are, or even that we are worse than we are. Father, that you would just meet us and remind us where we're starting from. And in your word today, remind us that we do not start there alone. Let us hear these words. Let us apply them in our lives. Let us see you at work through your spirit this morning. Amen. Jesus starts with this idea of come to me. It's like the classic hymn states and tells us, just as I am without one plea. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt. Just as I am, poor, wretched, and blind. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. These first three words, come to me, they are an invitation wrapped up in a promise. I know of two 911 operators. And let me tell you, when I talk with them and hear the burden that they have with their job, I mean, that is a hard job. But if you think of 911, it's an invitation wrapped up in a promise as well. You're not calling that. Actually, I've heard of people calling that for their homework, but you're not supposed to. When you call that, you need help. And your expectation is that invitation, that there is a number out there that someone thought was good enough to have someone always waiting to respond. The invitation is call that number and help will be on its way. You don't call that number expecting to say, "Oh, we would love to speak to you. Thank you so much for calling. Your call is very important to us. Please hold on the line." You get that, and you're in trouble, even worse. And these 911 operators, they give their time and their efforts and their soul, their hearts, to know that when they sit there, someone's calling them at the moment that they need them the most. 911 is an invitation with a promise. This is what Jesus says when he says, "Come to me." It's an invitation to come, but it's a promise that he will always be there, that he's not going to put us on hold. And we know that because his brother James tells us this. It says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Come to me is an invitation with a promise. But who is who's to make that call? Who's invited to come? Jesus goes on. He says, "All who labor and are heavy laden." He gives us a pretty inclusive list here of who should come, and it's the word "all." That's everybody. That's all of us. But then Jesus looks and says, "Hey, there's two types of people in this world. Those who labor and are heavy laden." Well, what does that mean? Who are those two types of people? If you are in that category of those of us who labor, then really what we are is we are the people who are actively trying hard to crowbar our lives into something smooth. Those of us who labor are the ones who are working to be right, to be good, to be better today than we were yesterday, to get ahead, to drive our ambition, to make sure life does what we want it to. Those of us who labor take life by the horns, and we tell life who's boss. How's that going for you? But that's what labor looks like. My sweat, my brow, my work, my way of doing it. But then there's another type of person who is heavy laden. And those of us in the heavy laden category, we find ourselves weighed down by something out of our control. Circumstances that might not have been done necessarily by us, but have definitely been done to us. Does either one of those sound like you? Because it's usually one or the other. Sometimes it's both. But Jesus reminds us that that's all of us. There's never been a time, hardly ever in my life, where I haven't been heavy laden or labored. But the invitation with the promise remains, "Come to me." And we come with an assurance that we can, as he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We might not be too familiar with this yoke language. In Jesus' day, when you wanted to plow a field, you didn't get into your John Deere, you hooked up your oxen. And they looked like this, and you had this heavy bar on top of them. You put them together, and it clicked them together, but then it allowed you as one man or one woman to have one or two ropes and to pull a plow behind them, and you as a single person could have this team of oxen because the yoke was on them. This is how you controlled them. This is how you showed them this is the way to go. And so rabbis in Jesus' day began to see this, and this was all over the countryside, and they began to call what they would teach their way, they called it a yoke. And the teacher's yoke was their instruction, the way that they would say they would live, and their expectation that those who followed them, their students, their apprentices, their disciples, that they would follow them as well. And so rabbis would have a saying. They would say to their students, "Take the yoke of your rabbi." That his way would become your ways. That his lifestyle would become your lifestyle. His way of living would become your way of living. That ultimately you would become little rabbis that looked like him. And so you can probably now see the connection that Jesus makes here, as it would just make sense in his world. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He puts these two things together. Make my way your way. And Jesus says that you're labored and you're heavy laden, and it's because you have a different yoke on. Whoever your master is, whoever your rabbi is, whatever your ideology is, if it's not Jesus, then whatever the yoke is that isn't Jesus is a yoke of labor, or it's a yoke of heavy burden. If we've been trying our way and it seems hard, it's because the Jesus way is better. But is it? Well, let's be honest. Let's be transparent this morning. Is the Jesus way really better? How can we trust Jesus? How many people, we say we like his teachings, but there are only some teachings we like. It's the, oh, you know, I like the love your neighbor one, and maybe if the day is right, I like the go extra mile one, but I don't like the get up, you know, take up your cross one. I don't like this one. I don't like give up, you know, sell all of your possessions and come and follow me. I don't like that one. And many people will look at the Jesus way and say, hey, there's a couple good things, but most of his way, if we were to actually live it, man, that's oppressive. That's old-fashioned. That's outdated. That's not workable in a new world where truth is relative to the situation, and a truth where we want to make sure we live by alternative facts. How can I trust Jesus? Is Jesus' way really the best way? I mean, he says it is, but is it really? And we have to, as a church and as people of Jesus, be willing to say, that's a legitimate question. The question itself, that's a good question to ask. I think there's an answer, though. We can trust him because he reveals to us the innermost part of his being. And he invites us to say, hey, ask that question, but then watch me for the answer. He says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Scholars will point out that this is the only place in all of Scripture where Jesus says and defines his own heart. The only place where he says, if you want to see my heart, let me tell you what it is. It's gentle and lowly. That word gentle here means meek, or it means humble. It's more of a state of humble. We'll see why in a second. And so what this word gentle tells us is that Jesus is the most understanding person in the universe. We're told in Hebrews that we have a high priest that knows everything we have been through. He has experienced it all. Jesus knows your starting location. And he's not judging you for it. He wants to hear about it. Jesus is the most accessible person. Jesus' posture is never to point fingers, always to open up his arms and then to embrace and to listen. He is the most approachable, he is the most understanding person in the whole world. He calls himself gentle. And then that word lowly. And for many of us, come on, that's kind of a turnoff, lowly. We don't want lowly, we want warrior Jesus. But he says, I'm gentle and I'm lowly. And that word lowly has also that idea of humble there, but in the Greek it attaches more to the relational humble than it does the status humble. And so he says, I am humble, I'm lowly, I'm humble, but it's relationally, which means he's not stuck up. He's not arrogant. He has every right to be the most important person in the world, and yet he comes and he makes himself the most accessible person. There is no human in history more approachable than Jesus. He is both approachable and understanding. Dan Ortlund, who wrote a book called Gentle and Lowly, it was one of the things I read this summer, specifically on these three verses, and he writes this. You don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. Folks, today, if you hear nothing else, if you walk away with nothing else today, hear and know that this is true. That Jesus loves you for no other reason than you are you. And he is him. Because he is Jesus, he loves you for no other reason than you are you. There's nothing you have done or will do. There's nothing that you can do or can't do that will make Jesus stop loving you. Or that will make him love you more. Or that will make him love you less. Jesus loves you, this I know, for no other reason than you are you, and Jesus is Jesus. While this is the only place here where Jesus tells us from his lips the nature of his heart, we can test the sincerity of this. We can look to see this if this is true by his actions. Right, Jesus spent the most time with and was the closest to those who would define themselves as the farthest from God. His strongest critiques were leveled at the religious posers and the hypocrites of the day. He didn't align himself with the powerful, but called and equipped the least chosen among them. He touched the untouched. He connected with the disconnected. He brought the outcast in. He healed the unhealable. He walked in when others walked out, and he brought light to the darkest corners of people's lives and souls. Jesus' heart was on display. He challenges us to say, "This is my heart, gentle and lowly. Now watch my actions and tell me if it's true or not." If the question is, can we trust Jesus? My answer has to be, how can we not? When he says, this is my heart, and I'm going to prove it by my actions. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, again, is easy, and my burden is light. What helium does for a balloon, Jesus' yoke does for our souls, for our lives. Again, Ortland would say it this way: we are buoyed along in life by his endless gentleness and supremely accessible lowliness. To be clear, his promise is rest for our souls, not rest for our bodies. Jesus tells us that while we can bank on this promise that he has come to give us life and life abundantly, the life of the follower of Jesus is inescapably one of toil and labor. Jesus' way of living, it's like a life preserver being thrown to a drowning person. You'll need to burden yourself with putting that on, to coming to it, to grasping for it, to kicking a little harder just to get there and to get. But all of a sudden we realize, and most of us will come and see this life preserver, this burden, this yoke, these teachings in this way, and we will say, no way, not me. This is hard enough. I'm drowning in this storm. Life is labored, or I'm heavy burden. The last thing I needed is an added burden of this life preserver around my body. Notice Jesus says, yes, easy, but it's a burden. He says, it is a burden. It will hold on our shoulders, but it is not one that burdens us. That's what it's like when we say, no, you know what, I want Jesus, but I don't want the burden. I want some of Jesus, but not all of him. It's really when we confess with our lips that he's Savior, but generally avoid living our lives like he is King and Lord. Many of us are willing to profess that we are Christians, but we don't live like disciples. And here's how we can tell. Are you at rest? When life hits you hard, when you are heavy laden, do you feel peace? When you are laboring, do you feel like you are just always going uphill and never doing it and never gaining traction? Many of us are willing to profess we are Christians, but we don't live like we're disciples. We can tell because we're not people at rest. Because we still live as if we know best, that we can still try harder. We know the way. We can decide for ourselves. Many times we have these phones in our hands and they've become the new GPS directions. And how many times have you put in your starting location, you know where that is, but you're going somewhere. And so you put your phone on your dashboard or somewhere in your car, you start listening to the directions to your robot overlord, whichever voice it takes on at that moment. And you come up to the corner and it says, turn left now. Mine's an English lady. She's very kind, by the way. And it's turn left now. And how many times have you, kind of like me, thought, I know a better way. You may want me to turn left here, but I know a shortcut. If you're like me, the little thing down there that says you'll be there in 10 minutes, I feel like that's a challenge. And I can be there in 9. Just watch me. And so turn left here. Nope, I'm going to go right, because I know that if I go this way and then left and then right, I can beat Siri, or I can beat, you know, the directions. I'm not going to put on that yoke of that person telling me to turn left, even though I think I should go straight. If I live like the yoke or the way of Jesus is like those phone directions, then really what happens is I'm saying, I get the final say. I'm still king of my life. I'm still Lord. Jesus, you can give me some really good directions, but I'll decide whether or not I'm going to take them or not. And if that's the case, if that's how we're living our lives, we will always be labored and heavy laden. We are refusing the yoke that Jesus says, his learning, his ways that are easy, that are life-giving. We will refuse them if we continue to not live life like Jesus says to live it. We have to trust him. Because it's not the Jesus way if we think that his way is suggestions. It's just my way, packaged in a religious experience. My heart this year, for each and every one of us, is that we experience the dynamic, life-changing heart of Jesus. Because you're not going to care about your neighbors until you know how much Jesus cares for you. My hope is that we come to trust that what Jesus says of himself, that his heart is gentle and lowly, that we trust it enough to actually come to him, to take his learning, to take his yoke, to find that rest for our souls, to trust what he says about himself and his way of living. That's the journey that we invite you to take this year at Journey Church. And to get there, to get going on that journey, we have to start here. What's your starting location? When we started reflecting this morning at our time together in God's Word, what's your starting location? Have you come to Jesus? Or are you with Jesus, but you're just taking his directions as suggestions? Folks, we need to know your location to reach your destination. Do you want Jesus to be Lord and King or the GPS directions? Do you need to approach him and just feel his embrace around you and know that he is approachable? That he is understanding, that he is accessible, that outside of all the labor and heavy burden that you feel right now, he just says to you, I love you. Thank you for coming. Be here with me. Know me. Do you know that his heart is gentle and lowly towards you? Today is that day to come just as you are. Would you pray with me? Lord, your word lights up who Jesus is. We see this morning in Matthew's gospel, Jesus clearly just opening himself up and saying, here's who I am. Here's what I offer. Here's how amazing it could be. And Lord, we start there this morning. Before we get to all of the activities and the wonderful plans and the way that you have laid, I believe, out a course before us here at Journey Church through our ministries and through the things that we might not even have realized are on the horizon, Lord, before that next step takes place, we need to know the location that we are starting from. We need to know how drained we are. Lord, we need to be true with ourselves so that we can hear your words meet us at that place of anxiety and fear, that in place of angst, that place of hurt, that place of expectations unmet, that place of worry, that place of disobedience, that place of poking and prodding. Lord, we need to start there today. And just hear your invitation with a promise to come to me. Lord, we don't come to anyone else but you first and foremost. We don't come to a program. We don't come to a system. We don't come to anything but a Savior who not only promised and showed us his heart, but he then lived it out. Lord, give us the courage this morning to start where we are and to join you there. In Jesus' name, Amen.